they did commit to go, and how God, of course, brought them together, and then knitting their hearts together to go to the Solomon Islands. And then the path since then has been a lot of different things, but God is getting them closer, and we're looking forward to seeing what God is going to do as they all already making plans to go here this next year, the very beginning, trying to get there. And so we need to be praying for the Dietrichs, and God will bless them, but it's good to have them here and to hear firsthand what's going on. And so Brother Michael's going to be sharing with us God's word. So I trust you give your undivided attention as he comes. And let's remember, whatever God has for us, let's go ahead and say now, God, I will do that. Brother.
Again, I want to say what a blessing it is to be with you all. It was truly a blessing to be here the first time, as it is to be here now. I do have... Corbin in March 18th, I told Nora we had a meeting scheduled for 2 weeks, about 2 hours from where we're at, with a friend of ours that we knew from college, and I told Nora, I said, honey, you just had this baby 2 weeks ago. I said, I'm not going to ask you to come. I said, you just do what you feel like. I don't want to force you or anything. And she said, are you kidding? She said, I have been in the bed since. For almost 6 months, she said, "I'm getting out of here." She said, "I want to get out, and I want to just get out of the house." And so, at 2 weeks old, we took Corbin to his first deputation meeting, ever since she's been out with me, and it has been a blessing to have her back. I want to say thank you again for your kindness and your hospitality here. Thank you to the Brubakers for giving us allowing us to stay in your home, and for Pastor taking us out to eat last night in fellowship. It's just been a blessing to be here. And again, I thank you so much for your kindness. It's also good to see Pastor Townsend. Pastor Townsend has the privilege of being, the distinct privilege of being our northernmost supporting pastor up there in Maine. And it's good to see him and to just catch up with him. And blessing to see you also, my good friend Dan. It's good to see you again. I have a message for you today about something that has been very close to my heart over the past few months. And truthfully, it's something that should be close to our heart all the time. And it's not necessarily your missions message that says, go out, there are people lost, there's a need, there's people that need to hear the gospel. It's not typically a missions message. But when it comes to doing missions, it's something that we need to have settled in our life. It's something that we need to have sound and secured to, at the first sign of trouble, we know who to turn to. And really, before the trouble even comes, we should already be there. And that's the decision to trust in the Lord. Because friends, no matter where our walk is, no matter what our walk of life is, whether we are a businessman, whether we are a missionary, a pastor, evangelist, whoever we are, trusting in the Lord must be an area of our life that we have settled. It's something that we have to have with our whole heart. It's something that nothing else can take, and nothing else can get in the way of our complete trust in the Lord. And this is one area of my life that has been something that I have continually had to work on going through deputation, because there have been many times where I haven't trusted the Lord like I should, because it's so easy to fall back into that human reasoning, to fall back into the, I can get myself out of this. I can handle this problem. And friends, what I want us to get from this message today is, no matter how big or how small the problem is, it always qualifies. It needs to be brought to the Lord. It doesn't matter if we think we can handle it. We may be able to. It doesn't matter. It needs to be brought to the Lord.
In Psalm 78, I want to use this as a launching pad. This is not our actual text, but I just want to use this as a launching pad to see how, even with all that God has done in a people's life, the great wonders that they have seen God do for them on their behalf, they still question God. They still have the gall to ask God, can you take care of me? Can you do this? Psalm 78 and verse 7. The Bible says that they might set their hope in the Lord and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought them streams. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. You know, as we look at this account of the children of Israel going through the Exodus,
it's amazing to look at how many works that they saw. These people were able to walk out of a very powerful kingdom that was enslaving them. Because the king, it was bad for the king to keep them. And God took them out of this powerful kingdom and gave them their freedom and into a wilderness. These people were able to walk through the Red Sea and see the water piled up in a heap. These people, when they were in a barren desert and they were thirsty, they saw a rock all of a sudden bring forth water. Wonders after miracle after miracle after miracle, they had the privilege of witnessing. Yet when their bellies started to growl, when they got hungry, they started to again say, can God take care of us? Can he really take care of all of us? Can he do this? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know, it's easy for us to look at that and say to them, how dare you? How dare you do that? Look at all God has done for you. But friends, what we really should do is we should examine our own lives. You know, we may never say out loud or in our thoughts, you know, I have this issue, I have this problem, I have this trial that I'm going through. Can God really help me through this? Can he get me through this trial, this thing that I'm going through? You know, we may never say that in our thoughts or in our minds. But friends, when we fall into the rut of trying to get out of situations ourselves, we may not be saying it with our minds, but in our actions, we are really saying, can God take care of me like he's promised me to do? Can he furnish a table for me in this messy world? You know, we look at the world today and it's a messy place. It is a sin-cursed world. And it's amazing how often we're surprised when things go bad. But when you look at our world, it's not surprising that things go bad a lot. But friends, that's where having a correct view of trust in the Lord comes into play. That's where it's necessary, and it must be settled in our hearts. I want to be very transparent with you, and I mean, it's always a practice of mine to try to be transparent, but this is some of the things that I'll be sharing with you is something that are very close to my wife and I, and some of the things that God has brought us through. But in January, we had just started deputation. January of 2015, we launched out in full-time deputation. End of that month, Nora went into preterm labor, and she gave birth to our first son, Lucas. We continued on. God gave us the grace to get through. He gave us the peace to get through, and we continued on. And then we finished our first year, went into our second year, and then on Valentine's Day of 2015, Nora was expecting again, and she again went into preterm labor, this time at 22 weeks, and she gave birth to our second son, David. And you know, it was at that moment as she was giving birth, and the doctors had made it very clear that David was coming and there was nothing that we could do. It was at that moment, for the first time, that I felt completely helpless. You know, the circumstances surrounding what we were going through, it was completely out of my control. I wanted to find a way to just stop whatever was going on, but I couldn't. And it was at that moment that I said, well, I thought to myself, well, all I can do now is trust in the Lord. And it was from those circumstances that I really began to study Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, I had known Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I had memorized it ever since I was a child, and that was one of the first verses that I ever remember learning next to John 3, 16 and some of the other more well-known. But as a kid growing up, all that verse was to me was a memory verse so I could get a piece of candy as a reward. And it became such a repetitive thing where then when I saw people going through trouble, I would just kind of say, they just need to trust the Lord. It was easy for me to say that, much like it would be easy for us to look at the people in Israel saying, how dare you say, can God? When you look at all that he's done for you. It's easy for us to do that, but when we're going through trials ourselves, it's a lot harder to remember to trust in the Lord. And friends, I pray that the statement would never come into our hearts, you know, now all I have left to do is trust in the Lord, because really, at the first sign of trouble, at the first sign of a trial coming, we should have already gone before the Lord and say, Lord, this is coming. I know what's going to happen. This is beginning. I need your help to get through this. I need your help to help me, give me strength to get through this trial that you have for us. And you know, Pastor mentioned something about, you know, I'm so thankful that we have a great God. And I am. As we were in the grieving process of David, Nora and I watched a video about sort of like a documentary video about a young couple that went through the loss of a baby. Only in their circumstance, the grief process was so heavy that it destroyed their marriage, and they destroyed their lives. The father went to alcohol. The mom went into great grief. And I looked at Nora after we finished watching that video, and I said, Nora, you want to know the difference between us and them? I said, we had God. They didn't. There was not one mention of God in that whole film. And I said, God was there for us. And I still remember the day that we were driving back from the funeral, I mean, from the hospital to go and bury David in my hometown. I still remember Nora and I just talking about the circumstances that were surrounding everything. And Nora looked at me and she said, Michael, I can't explain it. But she said, with everything that we've gone to, I have complete peace. That where we are at and what has happened, I can't explain it, but God has given me just to such a peace that, you know, he had a purpose for this. I don't know what it is. I don't know why this happened. But God's given me a peace that he allowed it to happen. He had a reason for it, and we just need to trust him. It's amazing how we try so much when there are trials, when there are testings that come into our life. We try to figure out why we're going through it. And we worry ourselves so much. Why did I do anything to offend God? Did I do something? Why am I going through this testing? But friends, in Romans 11:34, it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor?" Friends, there are going to be things that happen in our life that we are never going to be able to explain. We may never know why we went through some of the trials that we have gone through until we get to heaven. And friends, we have to trust in the Lord that we'll know why we went through that in good time. My grandpa, when my grandparents lost a baby at 2 years old, it was 6 months. My grandpa lost what would have been my uncle at 6 months old, and it turned out to be SIDS. He died in his sleep. And for many years, my grandpa questioned why that happened, why such a horrible thing would happen. Until one day, the Vietnam War was going on. There was drafting going on. And they had the television going. And on the television, they were doing the draft by birthday. So all the men that had that birthday on that date were going to be drafted into the military. And on that day popped my uncle's birth date. And for my grandpa, that was an answer of why he died when he did. He said, my son, my grandpa fought in World War II. And he had seen a lot of things that he said, I would never want my son to go through. And so when he saw that his son would have had to go to Vietnam and fight there, he said to himself, I now know. You know, God gives answers and sometimes he withholds them. But we have to have a point in our life where we say, you know, whether I get an answer or not, God had this happen for a reason, and I just need to trust him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to look at a couple points from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, when it comes to trusting the Lord, it's spoken about quite a lot in the Bible, especially in Psalms and Proverbs. In Psalms 37 and verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalms 56 and verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Psalm 73 and verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Psalms 112 verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Psalms 118, 8 through 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Proverbs 28 through 25, it says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. I often think of the the three Hebrew children, and Daniel. As they were standing before a king, they would not bow down to this image that the king had set up, that King Nebuchadnezzar had not set up. And the king would play the instruments and said, when the instruments sound, everybody bows down, and the Hebrew children would not do it. He did it again, they would still not do it. Brought before the king, they would not bow before this idol because they believed in God. Their belief in God was sound. And they said a statement that has stuck with me since the first time I really heard the story. They said, "If it be so, O God, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." That bold statement to give before a king who is more than willing and ready to execute them because they're his obedience. That statement that they said, no matter what happens here, we're not going to serve, we're not going to bow down here. Because we love our God, we believe in our God, we trust in our God, we believe he will deliver us. And in a way, truth be told, they were right. Either way, they were going to be delivered out of this king. If they were thrown in the fiery furnace and they would have been consumed by the fire, they were going to be out of the king's hands. So either way, they were going to be delivered. But they said, we're not going to consent to what you're asking us to do. Friends, to take that stand, and in that environment, to take that stand, that was not just a whim of the moment decision. That was something that had been established and ingrained into their hearts since they were little boys, since they were young men. They had said, they had made a commitment, they had made a decision that no matter what happens, no matter the circumstances that come into our path, we will not give up on God. We will not forget who God is and what he is to us. We will trust in him no matter what. And friends, when it comes to our life, the trials that we face, before we even come to the problems that we may face in our life, we need to say, you know what, no matter what, big or small, no matter how big the trouble, no matter how scary the situation, we're going to put our trust in the Lord. At the first sign of trouble, our trust will be in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So there must be a decision, but also there must be a dedication to that trust. It says, with all thine heart. How much is all of your heart? All of you. Every single bit of your being needs to be devoted to trusting in the Lord. Friends, when I love telling this story because it was, at the time it was scary. It wasn't funny at all. But now I look back and my wife and I laugh on it. When we got married, first we had the rehearsal service. And during the rehearsal, we practiced with the rings. Well, after the rehearsal, I unwisely placed the rings on the front pew. And I completely forgot about them during the activities of the day following the rehearsal service. Completely forgot about them. Late at night, I was heading home from my friend's house, and I remembered the rings are on the front pew. That's probably not the best place for a good amount of money sitting there. It's probably not the best place for it. I probably should go and get them to a safer place. Well, I went there, and to my worst fears were imagined when I walked in and I saw that the rings were gone. They were not in any of the pews. And when I didn't see that the rings were there anymore, I set to looking all over that church for those rings. I went to my dad's office, and I thought maybe my dad saw them as he was closing up the church. And he went to his office, and he put them in the desk where he always puts things that he doesn't want to forget them. I opened it up. They were not there. And then for some reason the idea popped into my head, well, maybe he thought, hey, a good place to put these rings is behind one of my books in the library. Well, my dad has a library of about 2,500 volumes. And I started looking, pulling them all out, looking behind them. And so that took a good while. And I was doing all this because I didn't want to call my fiance and get her all worried about it on her the night before her wedding. Well, finally, after I couldn't find him, I had to break down and say, call her and say, do you know where this is? And she said, this ain't good. This is not good. But as I was going through that church, I was searching for those rings with my whole heart. I was not concerned about the sports game the next day. I wasn't even really being able to focus on the vows that I'd be making or the wedding that was happening, because I had to find these. It had to happen. And so my whole thought process was consumed by finding these rings. There was nothing else that I was thinking about until I found them. It was with my whole heart that I was looking for these rings. Turned out that my best man, I was in his best man 2 weeks earlier, and he had asked me to watch his rings. Well, as we were closing up the church and going our separate ways for the evening, he saw my rings on the pew, and he thought, well, he watched my rings, I'll watch his. He just failed to tell me. And so finally, when I called him about 2:30 in the morning saying, have you seen the rings? He said, oh, yeah, they're in my truck. And I said, can you please go to the truck and tell me that your eyes are looking at those rings? And he said, yes. And I said, now can you bring them inside where they're safe with you? So he had the rings the whole time. But with my whole heart, I was looking for those rings. Nothing else was going through my head. Nothing else was in the way. I was completely focused on finding those rings. Friends, when we come into trials, when we come into situations, testing, are we completely focused with our whole heart on trusting the Lord? Is it with our whole heart? The size of the problem should never dictate. The size of the problem should never dictate whether or not we decide to trust in the Lord. Every problem, big or small, in every area of life should be put into care and trust of our loving Lord. A bad report from the doctor, trials at work, a bout with depression, having trouble with bills, relationship issues, car trouble, a besetting sin. Each of these, and many, many more, they are meant for the care of our loving Lord, who wants to take it for us, who wants to help us through this issue, through these problems. Psalm 73:25 says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. You know, friends, when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to trusting in the Lord, you know, there should be nothing else that gets in the way of our need for the Lord's help. And sometimes when it comes to this our walk, we put our trust in some silly things. Things that let us down on a daily basis. There was this chair in college that I would sit on the porch in the dorm, and I would just put all my weight on it. And because it had held me in the past, I thought it would hold me the whole time. What I failed to realize is that there was a crack in the leg, and when a 190-pound guy keeps coming down on it with all his weight almost every day of the week, it's going to eventually break. And so one day, it did break. And I was surprised when it failed to hold me. I put all my trust in it. I thought it would hold me. It would continue to hold me. But it didn't. Friends, most things on this earth that we put our trust in will often fail us at one time or another. But there is one person that we can put our trust in, and he will never fail us. He's always on the throne. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly how we can get out of it, or how he can help us through it and give us strength. We have this idea with trusting in the Lord that if I put my trust in the Lord, he'll take it away. I don't think so. Not always. But when you trust in the Lord, he'll give you the strength to get through it. You know, Paul, he had the thorn in the flesh, and I won't get into what many good men differ on what that thorn in the flesh was. I'm not going to get into that. But the Bible is very clear that this was a great burden to him, and he wanted it gone. And so three times he prayed to the Lord, please take this away. And the Lord's response was very telling. It says in verse 9, in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Friends, can I tell you, as you are going through trials and tribulations and testings and just hard times, people are watching you. People see what you're going through. Coworkers, family members, they know. They know you're going through a hard time. The lost see what you're going through. And how you handle it shows a lot about how dependent you are on the Lord. And friends, as Paul was handling this situation, he said, as I'm trusting in the Lord, basically, as God's grace is sufficient for me, it's showing that the power of Christ is resting upon me. It can be seen through me. And friends, as we are going through trials and tribulations, the power of Christ can be seen through us if we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart. So there must be a dedication to that trust. But thirdly, there must be a dependence. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. When it comes to this passage, these verses of Scripture, this is probably the part of this verse that is the hardest for me. Leaning not unto thy own understanding. My wife can tell you that when we get into a problem, whether it's a car issue, whether it's something around the house, the thing that I want to do the most is just fix it, because I'm a fix it person. When we're in a trouble, when we're in a problem or anything like that, I just want to fix it. I want to get out of it. And you know, because I'm like that so quickly, I forget. Hey, it's a small problem, but let me ask the Lord for help. It can happen, and it needs to happen. That even at a small problem, a house issue, a car issue, as soon as the car sputters to a stop on the side of the road, it will not hurt to just say, Lord, I don't know what you have for us here, but help us through it. Get me through it. Before you even get out and try to fix things. Lean not unto thine understanding. My grandpa was a very wise man. And he would often like, this was one of his favorite verses, and he would like to talk about it a lot, as a man of God should love to talk about his favorite verse and what God has done for him. But one day we were walking through a pasture. He was a farmer, and he had a lot of horses and cows, and he was talking to me about this verse, and he was saying, "Son, as you get older, you're going to find that you think you know how to do things. That you think you have all the answers." But he said, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says to lean not unto your own understanding. And he said, "Son, let me tell you what leaning on your own understanding is like." He said, "You see that little sapling tree over there?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I see it." And he said, "Okay, you're a pretty big boy." He said, "Go put all your weight on that sapling tree." And so I did, and I was like, "Yes, sir, I'll go do it." And so I went, and I put all my weight on that sapling tree. And what happened to it? It snapped and broke and bent. And it was a mess of a tree after I got done with it because it could not hold me. It was feeble. It was weak. And he said, okay, see, it didn't help. Leaning on unto your own understanding, it will always fail you. You may be able to make it a little bit, but you're eventually going to be in trouble. You're going to hurt. And he said, son, you see that big old 100-year oak that has been in our family for a while? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you go put all your weight on that. And when I, as a young boy, probably about that time, 110 pounds, went and put all my weight on that. And he's like, push on it. Try to move it. And I did, and it was steadfast. He said, son, that's what putting your trust in the Lord is like. It will hold you. It will take care of you. It will not be moved. God is able to hold every problem that you have. He is able to take it. He is able to care for it. In Psalms 73 and verse 26, it says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Proverbs 28 and verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You know, God can handle every single one of our problems. He has the ability to do it. Psalm 55 and verse 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Friends, there must be a decision to trust in the Lord. There must be a dedication. There must be a dependence. But what we find when we have those areas settled in our heart, that there's been a decision that has been made. There is a dedication to that decision, or determination to that decision, and that we have dependence on the Lord that he can get us through it, that he will get us through it, that we'll often find his direction, that there will be direction. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll show you the route you need to go. He'll show you the best way to get through it, to give you the strength to get through it. I know many times, especially when my wife and I were going through the grief of losing David, there was times I was just, what are we going to do? Where do we go from here? But you know, when we decided, you know, this is God's in control. We just need to let him, take control. We need to trust in the Lord. He let us out. He helped us. He gave us grace. His grace was sufficient for us. Psalm 73 and verse 23 through 25, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. A man that's heart, that's trust in the Lord is sure. A man that is dependent on the Lord. His steps are ordered by the Lord. And then a verse I love so much, in Jeremiah 9:23 through 24, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in these and the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, growing up, as a need would arise in my life, and I needed money for jeans, or money for a soda pop, or something, and I didn't have the money to do it, there was one person that I could go to where I always knew that there would be help, and that was my dad. because I knew he wanted to take care of me. And I knew that because I had a loving relationship with him, I had a good relationship with him, he wanted to help me. I knew from our relationship that he would help me and that he wanted to do it. And so he would take care of me. He would give me he would fulfill the needs that I had. That's who he was, because he was my father. But he also had to trust in the Lord to be able to have the ability to fulfill those needs for me. But because of my relationship with him, I knew that when I had an issue, when I had a problem, Dad would help me through it. My father would help me through it. And now as a man, I know that my Lord will help me through it. And we, if our relationship with the Lord is where it should be, we know that God will help us through it. That relationship that we have should prove to us that, you know, there may be issues that arise, there may be troubles that come, but because God has helped me in the past, because he's helped me get through some of these trials, I know he'll help me through this trial that I'm going into. Lord, please help me through it. Please give me the strength to get through it. In Jeremiah 9:23, it says, "For I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment in the world. For in these things I delight." You know, when we ask, when we bring our petitions before the Lord, and we say, and we may come to him, "Lord, I have this need. I have this thing that is on my heart that is very troubling. I need you to give me the strength. I need help through this. I need your guidance." You know, when we go before the Lord in prayer asking for his help, you know, it's not something that he begrudgingly does. I'm not trying to be irreverent here, but he's not sitting on his throne and saying, "Brother Brubaker, this is this third time this week that he's come with me. He's asking too much." No. The Bible says, "For in these things I delight." God loves to show himself strong to us. He wants to show himself strong to us. What makes him happy is for us as his children to come before him and say, "Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me through this." That's all he wants, is our willingness to ask him for help and our service for him. So friends, there must be a decision. There must be a determination with all of our heart. There must be a dependence, leaning not unto our own understanding. We need to lean on him, because we can cast all of our cares on him. He can handle every situation that we have, whether big or small. And there will be direction when we do that. The Bible, God's word, tells us that when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not unto our own understanding, and we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will direct our paths. He will get us through what we're going through. It's a promise that he has given us, and we know from the scriptures that God's promises are sure. They are something that we can put all of our faith in and trust in. We just need to make the decision to do it. In closing, as we had just gone through, the funeral of David, there was a point where, at the funeral, it was wonderful. It was a sweet time. But we had to leave. My wife, that weekend after we had the funeral for David, my wife had a good friend from college getting married. And I told Nora, I said, "Nora, are you sure you want to go?" And her friend even called her and said, "Look, you do not have to come if you don't want to." And Nora said, "No, I want to go." So right after we had the funeral for David, we packed up and we drove 12 hours to North Carolina. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it all in one leg. So we had bought a hotel in Nashville to stay the night. And as we were almost there, we had a we popped up over a hill in Nashville. We were about 20 minutes away from the hotel. We popped over a hill in Nashville. There's a piece of metal in the road. I hit it with my right front tire and completely shredded my tire, threw that piece of metal into the car that was passing me. And later on, we found out that that sparked a fire on their car and caught their car on fire 3 miles down the road. And it was quite the situation. But as we pulled over, I was only able to get just barely off the road before my tire was on. I was on just the rim. And first thing I did was get out of the car and start trying to fix things myself. And it was not a pleasant time. I looked at the tire. I saw that it was shredded, and that it needed to be changed. And so I looked under the back of my van, saw that there was a donut. I jacked up the car, and I started trying to work on getting this donut down. Well, the whole gearbox had rusted shut, and so I couldn't get this donut down. I was yanking on it and yanking on it, and then Nora came around and tried to give me some advice, and I said, "It's fine, it's fine. I just want you out and back in the car. It's dangerous out here." And it was getting to the point where we were both very upset. It was not a pleasant time, and it was kind of one of those points in our lives where we said to ourselves, "Now what else can happen?" And as we were sitting there, and I could not get the gearbox to come down, I could not get the gearbox to let the tire down, I bursted into tears. Nora told me later that she was in tears too, praying for me that I would be able to get things down. And I said to myself, "Lord, I obviously cannot get this gearbox down. It's rusted shut. I don't know what else to do. I feel like I've pretty much torn up the whole back end of my van trying to get this tire down." And I said, and right there, I said, "Lord, I should have asked you to help me at the beginning. I said, you've helped us through so much already, and so quickly we have forgotten how you've helped us through some pretty trying times." And right there under the car, as we were driving, as semi-trucks were buzzing past us, I said, "Lord, I need your help." About that time, a state trooper stopped by and asked if he could help, and he at least was able to get the traffic diverted over one lane so 18-wheelers weren't buzzing by within feet of me, which was very nice. He was able to give me some tips on help and get it down, but it was still rusted shut. Well, finally, I was able to finagle a way to get the tire down. It wouldn't go back. The winch wouldn't go back up, but I got the tire down. And I got the donut on, and we got on our way. It took us about another 40 minutes to get to that car, to that hotel that we had. But as we were driving, I was thinking to myself, you know, how foolish of me. After all God has done for us, I have a flat tire and I jump out, and right away I just start trying to go around about things myself without God's help. And look at the trouble that I got myself in. Look at how I had ran myself into anger, and now I was in a predicament. Friends, when I cannot express the importance that it is that at the first sign of trouble, you will save yourself so much grief and heartache and trying to figure things out on yourself if you just look to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me get through this. Show me the directions. Help me get through this, but give me the strength." Trusting in the Lord is very important. Whether you're a missionary on the mission field, whether you're a businessman in the workplace, whether you're a father, a parent, trusting in the Lord needs to happen, and it needs to be settled in our life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that these passages of Scripture will be a blessing to those who have listened. And Lord, I pray that as we go about our weeks and our lives this week, that we will be meditating on this passage of Scripture about trust in the Lord and how important it is for us to have this settled in our life and in our hearts and in our walk with you. In your name, amen. Pastor, if you could come.